Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another Mornings with the Masters. We devote ourselves to the Lord daily with you. We are picking back up with New Morning Mercies, and beforehand, I just wanted to ask for y'all's prayers over the health of our home. I don't know if you saw on Tori's Instagram, but she has got mastitis, which is an infection from breastfeeding. I don't know all the details about it, but yeah, it's really painful and not fun. Makes it hard on baby. And we're also in our 17-month-old sleep regression. And so we're losing a lot of sleep in the house. And I think there's kind of maybe some sickness flying around. So we'd love prayers for health over the home, shalom in the home. But we are in good spirits. We're really thankful for our family. But yeah, it's absolutely a lot. So anyways, I'm going to pick up. It says this: your hope is not in your ability to love God, but in his unrelenting and unshakable love for you. There is nothing that argues more for our desperate need for grace than the two greatest commandments, that we love God and love other people. The call to love exposes how dark and depraved our hearts really are. Let's be honest here. It doesn't take much for us to be irritated with other people. It doesn't take much for us to be impatient. Little interruptions, disagreements, and obstacles can cause us to well up with anger. We are easily dismissive of others. It's too easy for us to be prejudiced and judgmental. It's far too simple for us to be racist and xenophobic. And in a variety of ways, we look down on others, failing to see them with the eyes of compassion and hearts of mercy. It's so easy for us to judge others as foolish, lazy, or otherwise incompetent. I know I'm not the only one who struggles with these things. I think if we were willing to look at our hearts in the mirror of the Word of God, we would be shocked at how unnatural love is for us. But if horizontal love is hard for us, vertical love is even harder. The connection between the two is made in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Wow, there it is. If I have such a struggle loving people around me, how great and deep must my struggle be to love God? It's one thing to acknowledge God's existence. It's one thing to mentally assent to the truths of his word. And it's one thing to participate in the formal ministry of his church. But it is an entirely different thing to have every aspect of my life shaped and moved by love for him. Yes, the power of sin has been broken by the work of Jesus, but the presence of sin still remains and is being progressively eradicated. But there is still sin in our hearts. That means our hearts are still fickle. We still rebel and we want our own way. We still forget God and his glory. We still write our own rules. We still love our kingdoms more than we love his. We still demand what we don't deserve, and we still question God's goodness if we don't get our way. I'm going to read that again. That was so good. We still demand what we don't deserve, and we still question God's goodness when we don't get our way. We all fall into doing these things because we just do not love God as we should. We tend to love ourselves and we tend to love the world, but very often the love of the Father simply is not in us. So your hope in life and death is never to be found in the degree of your love for God. It is only ever found in the magnitude of his love for you. This love is yours as a gift of his grace, even on the days where your heart has run after other lovers. That's just how beautiful and faithful his love for you really is. And the one quick thing I want to reread, just because I feel like it really needs to settle in, is this. It's one thing to acknowledge God's existence. It's one thing to mentally assent to the truths of his word. It's one thing to participate in the formal ministry of the church. But it is an entirely different thing to have every aspect of my life shaped and moved by love for him. And in this time when Tori and I have just been not feeling well, of course, we're doing our best to kind of lounge around as much as we can, at least, and putting on a sermon, putting on a movie, whatever. And I just put on a sermon this morning, actually, and the pastor was talking about, and I can't remember the exact scripture reference, but he was talking about how there's a difference between being near Jesus and being in Jesus. And I think that's kind of what this author was talking about at that segment of the devotional, about how you can practice formal ministry, you can assent to the truths of God's word, you can do all these things. And honestly, a lot of that comes from being in proximity to Jesus, proximity to his church. Like, I'm sure you all have maybe had a friend or a person in your life where whenever you're around them, you just want to be better. You want to make better decisions. You want to love people better because they love people well. You want to work better. You dream more. You maybe don't say maybe bad jokes, whatever it may be. You're just like you're a better person whenever you're around that person, or maybe better yet, maybe you're the person that other people feel better whenever they're around. And that's like that proximity. That's that nearness. But I want to talk about the insideness and the difference between us just practicing those things and living them out on the outside versus what's actually happening on the inside, and Jesus taking over on the inside, and you being willing to put a spotlight to remove your pride and say, oh yeah, here's some areas that I think we should talk about. Here's some things that I've been partaking in. Here is some TV shows or music or whatever I need to cut out. Here's a relationship that's not been good for my relationship with God. We all have those things that we're afraid to let go of, honestly, because they probably feel good. Maybe they taste good. Maybe it's food. Maybe they make us feel better about ourselves. We all have different things. And I think us being willing to be changed from the inside out is what we need to have happen. Because again, there's a difference between being near Christ and being in Christ. Christ is going to change you from the inside out. And I think whenever we're doing things for his kingdom, that's us loving him. But whenever we experience the correction and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that's him loving us. And so I think we need more of that right now. There's all these cool, good works that we can be doing, but it needs to come from overflow of what he's doing on the inside, of being in Christ, not just near Christ. So yes, let's draw near to him and he will draw near to us. Let's invite the Holy Spirit in and ask him, God, what are you going to do today? How do you want me to impact your kingdom today? How can I love my family better today? And like, what are you going to expose inside of me today that I can live outwardly as well? I'm going to pray this out. Lord, thank you for this devotional. Lord, help us to not only draw near to you, but to invite you in. Help us to take a good hard look at those things in our life that need to change, and to get rid of our pride over those things, and to feel the trust and comfort knowing that submission to you will bring us a greater joy than finding acceptance and freedom, quote unquote, in the world. We pray in your son's heavenly name. Amen. Amen, y'all. Now is that perfect time to break out the worship music, break out the journal, and continue present to the Lord. Don't forget that you are God's masterpiece, and don't forget to love you. We love you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Au revoir.